If I say that our next speaker is Britain's greatest living historian, her first bestseller, Mary Queen of Scots, came out over 50 years ago. Now, some historians can match that record, but none can go back as 1954, I think, when a 22-year-old Antonio Packenham, as you then were, wrote King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. I don't think it's ever been done that someone has written 30 books over 70 years. And Antonio Fraser's latest book is a wonderful book about Lady Caroline Lamb, a free spirit. And Antonio's rival will sit down while I ask his questions. Lady Caroline Lamb, if you haven't heard of her, her dates were 1785 to 1828. She's most famous for her brilliant pithy verdict on Lord Byron, mad, bad, and dangerous to know. And Antonio, your book is subtitled A Free Spirit. Why did you give her that subtitle, and why did you write about her?
Before I get going, can I say that I enjoyed the two speeches, discussions up till now, and then I went into a dream in which Queen Camilla founded the SAS. And I thought how brilliant she would have been. You know, so athletic and intelligent. Anyway, that was my dream. apart from that, back to Lady Caroline Lamb, the free spirit comes from a quotation from one of her novels, but it is very much what she was, a free spirit. And that's what I like about her, of course. You like reading about the free spirits of history. But I have a feeling, incidentally, that I would have liked her very much. And she was one of a large gang of cousins rooted in the Devonshires. The famous Duchess of Devonshire, Georgiana, was her aunt, her mother's sister. And they were spirited little girls and boys. And then when she was about 18 or 19, time to get married, she fell in love with lovely William Lamb. And nobody much wanted her to marry him because lovely William Lamb didn't have much money. He had an older brother. But luckily, he was got rid of, the older brother, I mean. And she was able to marry him. And then she began to think, well, what about me? What about in this fascinating world I live in? What about me? Are people bothering about me? And she sort of had a love affair to find out that at least one man was bothering her and bothering about her too. But she went at everything with tremendous courage, actually. And the man and the lover were dismissed. She promised to dismiss him. And then she moved on, and her husband became a politician. And then she showed what she was made of, because they said, oh, you can't go and hear him in Parliament. Women aren't admitted to Parliament. He said, oh, can't I? And they said, no, women aren't admitted, only occasional peeresses who go and stand over the ventricle. Very difficult, but you can't do that. So she then dressed up as a page, which you'll see from the cover of my book. She made a jolly good page in her brother's clothes and went and heard her husband make his speech. Came back to dinner saying that was a jolly good speech. From then on, she somehow had struck out and she was going to be Caroline Lamb and nothing else. Unfortunately, adventure did include gentlemen, and the mystery is that William Lamb didn't follow her. Later, he would go on to have all sorts of affairs. He never had affairs that are known, and people have investigated it during time. He just adored her. She had something. She began to write. She wrote very well. One of them, called Ada Rice, is particularly good. She wrote one about Byron called Glenarvan, which was a bestseller. And she enjoyed life. The one thing that was sad was that her beloved son, Augustus, was what we would now call autistic. But she loved him. Anyway, she had the experience of love. And She had a great fondness for picking up children and educating them. Boys on the seashore, she'd come along and sort of, you know, she wanted to do good. At the same time, she was a wild creature. Her grandmother wrote a wonderful letter, Lady Spencer, saying, "I hear that at Lady Smith's last night, you ran and jumped over three sofas. This really won't do." I sometimes look at the sofas in my own room and think of Caroline leaping over them. And then her husband grew more political, and then the passion for Byron began. I won't spoil the story, but it is an extraordinary story, including a visit to Ireland where her family tried to knock it out of her without much success. And sort of turning up in Byron's chambers dressed as a page, going to parties and making scenes, and altogether having a very good time, perhaps not giving such a good time to people around her. But it didn't last. Her health was not good. It was something, she was very small, delicate. I don't know whether it was mental working on physical, there are all sorts of theories. Some people think she was bipolar, but others say she didn't have depressions, so she wasn't bipolar. Anyway, she did in fact die. The Melbourne family, the Lamb family, got absolutely fed up with her. They thought she was dragging down their beloved brother. And, you know, finally she was sort of encouraged to stay at Brockett Hall and not come out. But in the meantime, she managed to have a wonderful flirtation with Duke Wellington. And I managed to find some lovely books with the help of the archivist at Stratfield Say. Books written by Caroline, dedicated to the Duke, her own handwriting. And so she managed still to keep going. And then gradually, laudanum that she took, whichever one it took, I mean, it was like paracetamol and other things. She got dropsy and died very young, but, I mean, she died at 42. But Melbourne said he could never believe that she was dead, and he never married again, which is very interesting, this highly eligible man. And so she remains hovering over us, a free spirit.
And I must ask you about Byron, and in your wonderful book, he comes across
as a mad, bad, and dangerous to know, but also a complete rotter. Would you agree with that? Sorry, Emily, you couldn't.
I think she felt that he was a complete rotter, and I think that was part of the excitement. I don't personally, with Byron, however much I think he's a rotter, I've only got to open the poetry and read She Walks in Beauty Like the Night, and I'm a goner, you know. So I must always defend him. But I think, no, Byron was not an unrotter. I mean, in other ways, the way he treated his wife, which was nothing to do with Caroline, was not good. And it depends what you think of incest, that any brothers and sisters here, but he did commit incest with Augusta, his sister. So is that a rotter? Well, not for me to say. I've got four brothers and never been invited.
And there's an absolutely extraordinary scene, which is almost too good to be true, that Byron dies in Missolonghi fighting for Greek independence in 1824, and his funeral cortege is brought back to Britain, comes back through Hertfordshire past Brockett Hall, and amazingly, she sees it long after her affair is finished. And that is true, is it?
It's absolutely true that she's out in her carriage and they come. And they pass a hearse, he'd come all the way from London, his body was taken. And she says, "Who's that?" And they actually say, "Lord Byron." I find it absolutely extraordinary moment. It's totally true.
It's absolutely extraordinary, incredible coincidence. And the other thing that comes across in your book is how incredibly wild people were there. You refer to the children of the mist, which are the many illegitimate children floating around the upper classes. Do you think they were much wilder then than now?
I think, to be absolutely honest and rather practical, it was the lack of contraception. You know, it did not exist as a reliable thing. And so people had love affairs, as people always have done, and presumably always will. But with no contraception, none of them any idea, or are they had an idea by having a look and saying, I think, or I seem to remember. But it led to some very murky situations. I mean, the Duke of Devonshire at the time had two children in 2 days by two different people. It was very different. Very difficult to talk his way out of that one.
And Antonia, last question. You hinted in your very moving interview in the Daily Telegraph, where you revealed you'd had the last rites, I think twice at Christmas, and wonderfully fought back, that this might be your last book. I hope that's not the case.
I've never stopped writing. What I write, I don't know. I shan't write a very, very long book, because I am 90, and I might not live for 25 years. No, never know.
Well,
I hope I live long enough to visit you again.